preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those winning mole boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive.
Well, somebody got shot survive with the old 45 today. Welcome back, folks. And this is the Trump phenomenon, and Donald Trump did spit some beech nut in that dude's eye, and that was, I don't even know how to pronounce the guy's name. Let me go to the president's account here, and we'll see, refresh ourselves on this guy that none of us knew anything about, because the mainstream, lamestream media never told us anything about him. This remains the latest tweet from the president. Let me just see. Let me update his Twitter account here. And, yep, that American flag that he put up mysteriously, sort of, in a way, in the middle of our show last night was actually his statement on his takedown of the Iranian Soleimani, head of the he's got he's got some more quotes here, some more tweets today. We will go to those, but I like what the president said. I saw something he said on the podium here today. He said, "I took this guy out." This is not his exact words, but I did this act not to start a war, but to prevent a war. I like that. Donald Trump, a peace president, does not preclude or exclude Donald Trump, the strong president who will deal in a forceful way with people who threaten Americans or kill Americans. And this guy Soleimani apparently is the prime principal person responsible for the deaths of hundreds of our finest. His Quds force was operating in Iraq, actually, under his command, killing Americans. And so he definitely deserved to die, in the same way that al-Baghdadi richly earned his cowardly death. So did this guy. So I salute the president. Very strong action. And the so that's my response to that. We were just learning that it had occurred. There was as yet no comment from either the governments of Iran or the United States after learning that Soleimani, or that the commander of the Iraqi Quds force, had been killed with a missile by an American drone. So well done on that. And of course, the Trump derangement syndrome crowd is deranged on the subject, and they are all springing to the defense of Soleimani. And, you know, I guess we didn't respect Soleimani's, what, did anybody read Soleimani his rights? What? Nobody read Soleimani his rights? Did Soleimani have an attorney? No, he didn't. Did he get an appeal? Well, gee, my goodness, the unconstitutionality of that is striking, is horrific. Anyway, thank God for Donald Trump. And good riddance to Soleimani, this butcher and murderer of Americans. And this might be a... Let's hope that the president wants to get out of Afghanistan. He wants to get out of Iraq. And let's hope that that's what we see happening. We have no vital national interests of any kind in any of those countries. And now that we are, thanks to Donald Trump, the number one producer of energy in the world. I don't know whether we're the number one exporter of energy in the world. We might be that as well. But we are the number one producer, ahead of Russia, ahead of Saudi Arabia, ahead of Venezuela. We lead with coal, with gas, and with oil. We don't really have a we don't have a much of a real interest in what's going on in Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Iran or Syria, which is not particularly an oil producing place, but those others certainly are. Kuwait certainly don't have any interest in Afghanistan, which doesn't produce anything except heroin. So that's the story there. There's another story I want to bring you tonight, a completely separate story. I know I'm shifting gears here, but I just saw this on TV. I didn't have any idea this had happened, and I'm still recoiling from the shock of it. I know I'm drastically changing subjects here, but this story is kind of breathtaking. 18 Republican governors. Well, let me set the stage for this. Donald Trump wrote an executive order. I think it was in September. I should know the date and the particulars and everything. It's that important. But he wrote an executive order stating that localities, cities, counties, cities, and states must be asked whether they want refugees from places like the Middle East, which is one of the great generators of so-called refugees now. They must be asked, and they must give their permission if the federal government is going to ship, enable, transport, bring refugees to their cities or states. And they have the president's executive order mandates that the federal government must have their permission. Now, that's a wonderful breakthrough by the president to stop. Do we want refugees in America? Does the American population, first of all, does the American population in general, just by, you know, do the majority of Americans want refugees? The answer is N-O. But if you ask the question of patriotic Americans, the answer is N-O. It's overwhelmingly no. And that's the group we care about. I really don't care that much about people that have, for instance, already invaded the United States and don't give a rat's ass about our values or our civilization. In fact, they resent, many of them resent who we are and don't, and kind of like the idea of destroying our nation. So I don't really care about those people. But among patriots, people like you listening to my voice, we don't want refugees from anywhere. And we don't want them in any quantity. And we've been that way since forever. There has never been a moment when we, the American people, wanted refugees. And in modern times, of course, we're talking about third world refugees. I'm not talking ancient history about, you know, refugees from the, you know, some European flow of refugees. That's another story. Utterly. Anyway, we don't want refugees. So the president laid the groundwork there for Republicans, well, for patriots, to say no to refugees. Well, apparently, in recent weeks, 18 Republican governors have told the federal government, in response to this executive order from the president, that they want refugees. Please bring us more refugees. 18 Republican governors. This is mind-boggling. I don't have this story in front of me. If one of you knows more about it than I do, please call in 800-313-9443. I'd like to put your expertise and knowledge and wisdom on the phone here. This is an amazing story. I'll look it up here during the next available break. But for the moment, right now, I'm going to try to remember. There were 18 states, and I'm going to remember the 18 states. It was so shocking to me. It sort of burned its way into my brain as I watched the states. And these states, let me just remember that map. One of the most shocking elements is that my state of North Dakota, my governor, Burgum, he said, I want more refugees. Well, Governor Burgum, no, we don't. Sorry, pal, you're wrong. South Dakota, remember this map, said they want more refugees. That's wrong. Nebraska, wrong. Oklahoma, wrong. Let's see, Idaho, Utah, I'm just remembering the map. It was Idaho, Utah, and another state, might have been Colorado. Then there was a line of states across the country. I think it included Ohio, and Maryland was among the states that was on this map. I'm going to get the map, and I'll read off your state. But your state, ladies and gentlemen, for 18 of you, has requested more refugees. Now, I'll tell you, our system is really, really broken when something like that is happening. That is a... we ought to be put on suicide watch if we're doing that sort of thing to ourselves. Let me see if I can't find that story. I'll have that for you before show's end. And the president's most recent tweet, here's one. Here's one just 5 hours ago. Let's hear what our president has to say to us. Rewind it here.
As president, my highest and most solemn duty is the defense of our nation and its citizens. Last night, at my direction, the United States military successfully executed a flawless precision strike that killed the number one terrorist anywhere in the world, Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani was plotting imminent and sinister attacks on American diplomats and military personnel, but we caught him in the act and terminated him. Under my leadership, America's policy is unambiguous to terrorists who harm or intend to harm any American. We will find you. We will eliminate you. We will always protect our diplomats, service members, all Americans, and our allies. For years, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its ruthless Quds Force under Soleimani's leadership has targeted, injured, and murdered hundreds of American civilians and servicemen. The recent attacks on U.S. targets in Iraq, including rocket strikes that killed an American and injured four American servicemen very badly, as well as a violent assault on our embassy in Baghdad, were carried out at the direction of Soleimani. Soleimani made the death of innocent people his sick passion, contributing to terrorist plots as far away as New Delhi and London. Today we remember and honor the victims of Soleimani's many atrocities, and we take comfort in knowing that his reign of terror is over. Soleimani has been perpetrating acts of terror to destabilize the Middle East for the last 20 years. What the United States did yesterday should have been done long ago. A lot of lives would have been saved. Just recently, Soleimani led the brutal repression of protesters in Iran, where more than 1,000 innocent civilians were tortured and killed by their own government.
Now, you didn't hear about that one, did you, folks? That was not reported by the lamestream media. The Iranians have been murdering their own people in large numbers.
We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. I have deep respect for the Iranian people.
That's the most important part of what the president just said. We took action to stop a war, not to start a war. Beautiful. That's our peace president.
They are a remarkable people with an incredible heritage and unlimited potential. We do not seek regime change. However, the Iranian regime's aggression in the region, including the use of proxy fighters to destabilize its neighbors, must end, and it must end now. The future belongs to the people of Iran, those who seek peaceful coexistence and cooperation, not the terrorist warlords who plunder their nation to finance bloodshed abroad. The United States has the best military by far anywhere in the world. We have the best intelligence in the world. If Americans anywhere are threatened, we have all of those targets already fully identified.
Okay, I like that. All of those targets already fully identified. In other words, Mr. Or Mrs. Terrorist, wherever you are, don't sleep too comfortably tonight, because Donald Trump has just shown that he can reach out and touch you quite unexpectedly.
And I am ready and prepared to take whatever action is necessary. And that in particular refers to Iran. Under my leadership, we have destroyed the ISIS territorial caliphate. And recently, American Special Operations Forces killed the terrorist leader known as al-Baghdadi. The world is a safer place without these monsters.
I love it. Without these monsters.
America will always pursue the interests of good people, great souls, while seeking peace, harmony, and friendship with all of the nations of the world. Thank you. God bless you. God bless our great military, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. As president.
Nice. Ah, well, that's certainly wonderful. Well, there you go. Now, I got the story while the president was talking. I got the story I promised you. Here it is. You're not going to believe it. You'll have to wait till after the break, and then I'll give you the 18 governors. Maybe one of them's yours. So-called Republicans. We'll be right back.
It'll still last 10 years like they should. 'Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. Good times ain't over for good.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big Bad Donald Big John Trump, John. That is. And we're back, folks, and we've got John in New Hampshire on the line. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, John, thank you for calling. And before you start with your thought, if I may, during the break, I looked up the 18 states in which Republican governors have requested more refugees in the last few weeks. One of them is your own governor there, Sununu, in New Hampshire.
Absolutely correct.
Wow.
Yeah, and I know. It is incredible what's going on. I don't know if you're familiar. You remember his father, John.
Yes, I do.
So you've basically all these governors, these Republican governors, I think you can guess pretty much that they are neocons.
Right you are, John, and we'll come back to your thought in just a moment. Let me read the list for the audience so people can find out whether their so-called Republican governor has requested on your behalf. Remember, they serve at your pleasure. You pay for them. They're sworn to supposedly serve you. Here are the 18 Republican governors who've requested more refugees. In which the president put out an executive order saying the federal government is not going to send any more refugees to your state unless both the governor of each state and the executive body of each county approves the arrival of refugees there. Now, here we have them. Iowa, Governor Kim Reynolds. Arizona, Doug Ducey. Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt. Tennessee, Bill Lee. Now, by the way, notice every one of these states is a hugely Trumpian state, with two exceptions, Maryland and Massachusetts. And Vermont. These are all Trump states. Tennessee, Bill Lee. North Dakota, I lower my head in shame. North Dakota, Doug Burgum. South Dakota, Kristi Noem. New Hampshire, Chris Sununu. Utah, Gary Herbert. Nebraska, Pete Ricketts. West Virginia, Jim Justice. Indiana, Eric Holcomb. Vermont, Phil Scott. Massachusetts, Charlie Baker. Ohio, Mike DeWine. Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson. Missouri, Mike Parsons. Idaho, Brad Little. And Maryland, Larry Hogan. Those are the 18 absolute traitors to the patriot cause. Go ahead, John.
So just to give you a bit more background, at the same time that this occurred, that the governor accepted or requested more refugees, he also is pushing zoning modifications to allow low-income housing to be put in residential areas. I think you'll find this is a pattern amongst a lot of these states with Republican governors that have accepted the refugees. So you can see what's going on here. These rhinos are beholden to the business interests. And if you've been following anything about New Hampshire, there's been a constant hem and haw about the racial makeup of the state, that just by happenstance, it happens to be, I think, like 97% or 96% Caucasian, and much to the dismay of a lot of people nationally and within the state. So this has been this constant beating of the drum. So I have no doubt that this is what's driving a lot of this is business, to bring cheap labor in and diversify the state, which is basically, they've said it out loud, they do not like what the state looks like demographically. They've made no bones about it. And what their intention is to flood these states with cheap labor.
Those are good points. Yeah, John, those are all good points. And pardon me for just inserting myself here.
No, go ahead.
Those are all good
points.
You know, this is so distressing. There's something, something this lethal, something that's this close to suicide. If you've ever known somebody, folks, who committed suicide, one of the things you do after they commit suicide is you go, why? Why? I've witnessed suicides in my life. They've happened to people I know who it's like, this person, there just was no reason to commit suicide. There's no reason for this person to end his or her life. Folks, this is like national suicide. To open ourselves to refugees in the third world, it's insane. It's nutty. And of course, committing suicide is insane. But I think one thing that happens to people who commit suicide, they've lost the will to live. I mean, it's kind of ipso facto that they've lost the will to live. They don't want to be alive anymore.
So
go ahead. Here's my concern, John, that there's an even deeper explanation than just business interests, which is that's certainly part of it. Hang on with me, John, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware.
We're back, folks. John in New Hampshire is hanging his head in shame, and so am I, James Kelso in North Dakota. Our governors, Republican governors, have requested more refugees. These are so-called Republican governors. Now, I read you the list of 18 states. There are 9 other Republican governors who have not yet requested refugees. Those include, and I've only got a list here, I think, of 8 states, so I'm missing one. Sorry. But those are Wyoming, Texas, South Carolina, Mississippi. There's 4. Georgia and Florida, there's 6, and I've got 2 more, Alaska and Alabama. That's 8. I'm missing one somewhere, I think. But, boy, that is really discouraging. And I mentioned the concept of suicide, folks. I think that the deepest issue, John, even deeper than, you know, yes, corrupt businesses that want cheap labor, that's certainly a factor. But I think the key question is one that the president asked at his Warsaw, Poland speech in July of 2017. He said, the question is, do we have the will to defend Western civilization? That is the question. And a result like this, our own Republican governors requesting more refugees, which is national suicide, requesting that we be colonized by people who are utterly alien to us, despise, they want to take over and change everything we have, is national suicide. This begs the question, do we have the will to survive? In other words, should we be on suicide watch? Are we actually, do we actually lack the will to defend Western civilization? Now, I happen to be an eternal optimist, so I'm not going to answer that question in the affirmative. But it is, it looms large, does it not, John?
It does. And I would say that the suicide kind of analogy, the reason why it doesn't apply to these Republican governors is that they are convinced that the direction this country is heading in, there will be no more Republicans ever elected again after President Trump. Demography is destiny. We know that. But the thing is, so what they're doing is they're hedging their bets. You will see them leave office, these Republican governors, and take positions in these businesses that they're in bed with now. So to them, it's not suicide. To them, they figure, well, the country's going down the tubes. This is the way it's going, and I am going to get mine while I can. So in that respect, they are sentencing us to death. Not them. They're going to be in their gated community or wherever they're going to go. Right. They're going to have enough money. And to them, the hell with us, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So and, no, I'll tell you what, disgusting. John.
Yeah, no, you raise a very important point, which is that we might – this is the question of the – there may be a built-in, baked in the cake, an unworkability to our whole system of democratic elections. There may be something really wrong with this. The premise is that if you elect people, they somehow then will are likely to represent you truthfully, accurately. So representative government should work. It isn't. It isn't working. And so an interesting idea presents itself. Maybe, you know, you can always ask the question, did we ask for this? Did we, the people, do we want refugees? No, we don't. So that raises the idea, well, wait a minute, why don't we just take a vote on it? Why don't we just have a giant election in which the question is, do you want Mr. and Mrs. Voter in America, do you want more refugees? And I assure you that would lose. I assure you the answer would be, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I would say, Mr. Kelso, that we did have a vote, and that was President Trump.
Yes, correct.
And I think it was made clear by him what his intention was.
Yes.
So absolutely, we do know what the sentiment of the country is, and unfortunately, the forces allied against President is overwhelming. You know, my opinion is he needs to take control. He really needs to take control. He shouldn't have given these governors any option whatsoever. It should have been stopped. But unfortunately, I understand his situation, the president's situation.
Well, now let me tell you, assuage your concerns there about what the president did. There's an element of genius, tremendous genius in his executive order. He doesn't have the power. If he had written an executive order saying no more refugees, which he would like to do that, but if he had written that order, it would have been immediately challenged in court and in Congress, and it would have been stopped. But he worded it differently. He said, it's very clever what he did. Incredible. I don't know if it was his idea, but it's a genius idea. Certainly his genius application of it. He can't be challenged when he says, I, the federal government, the president, I do not have the power to impose refugees on you. So I am writing an order, ordering myself, my departments, we can't send refugees to you and settle them in your communities unless we have your permission. Now that can't be beaten in court. So he was saying, this is like the abortion issue where opponents of abortion have very correctly said, we simply want to make abortion a state matter, not a federal matter. So we want to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is a federal pronouncement that abortion is a right, and make it a matter of state legislation, in which case abortion loses, because at the state level, abortion does lose. So that's a very clever, a very brilliant move by pro-life advocates. But now let me get back to this question of the refugees. So the president brilliantly said, I'm going to leave it to you counties. And he doubled down on it. He said, I need the approval of the state or the federal government. He doesn't want to send refugees, but the federal government can't send refugees without the approval of the governor and your county's top executive agency, top governing agency, which would be the county supervisors usually. Well, okay, so to me, I got ecstatic about that executive order on this show because I thought, wow, the president has aced our enemies. But now we see this. We see all these governors, including my own, Doug Burgum, Republican governor of a state, this state, which voted more than 2-1 Trump and will do the same again in 2020. So what, you know, now, of course, the immediate answer for all of us patriots, rather than getting, you know, all philosophical about it the way you and I are, John, is, OK, we got to roll up our sleeves and get down to business. We got to let Doug Burgum and your governor, Chris Sununu, we got to let them know. Hell no. Hell no, Chris and Doug. That isn't going to work.
And I agree. Go ahead. There is one problem. The problem is. Is that there is no the state, the individual state Republican committees will not let anybody through that's not a rhino. So we have no option. We have no other Republican to vote for because these individuals that are in the Republican Party in each state are business driven. These are people that own businesses, that own corporations, that want the cheap labor. And they are gatekeepers. They will not let somebody in that we can vote for that is an alternative to a rhino.
Well, okay, that's a good point. These are cogent points you're making. But let me throw another idea out there. And that is that, you know, let's imagine you, John, or myself as the owners of a big successful business or a thriving business. Most of these people are pretty wealthy, these governors. So we're the owners of a thriving business, or we have our social circle consists of people who own businesses. So we're business people. But now think about it. If, you know, you're a millionaire and you own a successful business, I'm just asking this rhetorically. How is it that it's in my interest as a big businessman to get cheap labor when I've already got a thriving company? I'm a millionaire. I've got more money than I know what to do with. My problem when I reach the end of my life is going to be, what do I do with my, let's say I'm worth $20 million at that point. What do I do? And I have two kids. Do I give them each $10 million, you know, and maybe wreck their lives? Or do they have the common sense to be able to handle that $10 million? What is the point? In other words, isn't it more satisfying to me, John? Isn't it more in my interest to have a beautiful nation, a beautiful town, free of refugees? Isn't that, even as a businessman, you know, my business isn't going to crumble because I've got to pay higher wages to real Americans. And as a businessman, I ought to be proud if I walk into my, you know, my McDonald's franchise and I walk in there and there are a bunch of Americans serving me hamburgers. You know, that ought to feel good to me. And I ought to feel good as a businessman that I'm paying my workers, you know, $3 an hour more and that they can actually afford, you know, to drive a car. Because my wages are adequate, I'm still getting rich, and so I don't even know. I don't know. There's an element of insanity. Here's what I'm saying, John.
Suicide. I know exactly what you're going to say. Yes.
All of us who've witnessed a suicide, folks, you shake your head, you walk away from it, and unless the person had terminal pain or something, in most cases, you walk away from a suicide going, what was he thinking? What was she thinking? Why did they do this? It's crazy. And what's true about craziness or nuttiness, folks? Craziness, when you try to understand it, is that you're making a mistake. It's crazy. And nuttiness is nutty. And opening our borders is nutty. And us letting it happen is nutty. So it raises the issue. I go back to the president's question in Warsaw. The question is, do we have the will to defend Western civilization? And that necessarily includes defending Western civilization. What is Western civilization? That's a that phrase means us Europeans. So we got to keep our European countries what? European. Do we have the will to do that? Now, we used to have that will. Our ancestors did defend their borders, and they did defend their civilization. Now, somehow, we have lost that will. And that's, of course, you and I, John, we can do a series of a dozen shows on the various ways in which we've lost the will. But I think that's part of the Trump movement. Donald Trump clearly has the will. The guy who asked that question obviously has the will. He's the only guy that asks a question like that. Somebody who has the will, who can recognize the problem. So Trump has the will. And here's what I take the Trump movement to be, John. I take the formation of the Trump movement, of which you and I and this radio show are a part, to be the building of that backbone, the building of that will, the building of that understanding of the value of our Western civilization, the appreciation of how beautiful what our ancestors built is, and more importantly, this is a very important distinction here, folks, not what they built, but because what they built, the civilization they built, was them. It was them. It was their DNA. That's what they built. It's not the Eiffel Tower. It's not the Empire State Building, and it's not the Golden Gate Bridge. That's not what we need to glow with inner pride because we've got this bridge and these towers. No, what they built was our people. That's what they built, and that's what we need to be proud of. And that, of course, the schools are working on our heads. The TV is working on our heads. The left-wing media is working on our heads to make us ashamed of the beauty of who we are. And the Trump movement, to me, the beating inner heart of the Trump movement is this resuscitation, breathing life back into our will to live. To live as a people, and
I pray we have time. I pray the clock is with us, Mr. Kelso. I feel that the hour is short.
Let me ask you this. This is a personal question, so you don't need to answer it if you don't. Now, you know, my timetable is shorter than yours. I'm 71, so I've got, you know, if I eat spinach, believe it or not. I fight to the finish because I eat my spinach. I eat raw spinach. Are you ready for that? I even juice it. I drink spinach. But I want to live to be 91, so I can hope for 20 more years. About how much more of a clock have you got?
I'm close to you. I'm within about 6 years of you.
Okay, so your clock is not real long either. And I agree with John, folks. Do we have enough time to build that will? And that's if this show accomplishes one thing, if anything I do, if I had to say, Kelso, how will you feel good about your show or something, or what do you want on your tombstone? If this show resulted in a little bit of building of will, and you'll notice, John, in my show, I say I try to be encouraging, because if you discourage people, if you depress them, you're knocking down their will.
Yeah. So I do not mean to depress anybody or be a naysayer. That's not what I'm saying. But what the advantage that you and I have, and people in our age group, basically, we know what this country was like when it was in its heyday. When you know the streets were safe to walk on, basically, when the communities were, you know, healthy, and the country was pretty much healthy. The problem is that you know, we have to, I guess, convey that to the younger folks out there that this country can be that again.
Yeah, and John, what you just said, you just did it. You just conveyed it to a whole bunch of younger people. And John is right, folks. There was a time when you I'm a little bit older than John, but I remember we did not lock our front door at my house. Pacific Palisades, California, on the beach. And we had a lot of nice things in that house. There was no lock on our garage. You just lift the door, and there's my dad's Mercedes Benz. He left the key. I told this funny story, John. He left the key in his 190 SL, and So all I had to do to take my girlfriend out on a thrill ride was to go out in the middle of the night and get in my dad's 190 SL and roar off. Well, I didn't roar off. I rolled down the hill with the engine off.
When you think about the things that kind of we had as problems back then, and what they have now, I mean, the opioids and the problems of the crime and the strife, it is unfortunate. But
for you young folks listening to John and myself, listen to this. In my high school, Pacific Palisades High School, we didn't even know what drugs were. Let me think about this. Okay, I graduated when I was 17. I skipped a grade, graduated when I was 17. One of the top rated high schools in the country and in the state, Pacific Palisades High School, class of 65. I don't remember a single person that I knew in school who had a drug problem. I never, it was so unheard of. I never smelled marijuana ever anywhere in that school. I didn't even know what it smelled like. Nobody used drugs. The strongest thing that anybody used, remember that song? We don't grow marijuana in Muskogee. And he said, the strongest thing Merle Haggard sang was, the strongest thing was white lightning, alcohol. And that's true. Right. The strongest thing that anybody ever imbibed at my high school was to sneak out behind the school or, steal a beer from your dad and then go out behind a garage and drink a beer.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Of course. I'll give you one small story of my own, and then I'll let you go. But I grew up in a relatively small city, to the point where if you went into your neighborhood store and you wanted something on credit, they would write your name down, and they knew your family was good for it, and you could come back and pay, when the paycheck came in. And that was a small city. It was not a town. It was a small city. People knew each other. The neighborhoods were close. But like I said, it can be like that again. All we have to do is desire it and think it and will it to power, really. But I want to say thank you very much, Mr. Kelso, for your work and everybody over there. We appreciate it greatly. There are people out here that take great solace in knowing that there are voices out there that are speaking the truth, and saying what needs to be said. But thank you.
Well, John,
very much.
Thank you. You say it better than I do. So thank you for improving the show today. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All righty, folks. That was fun there. John there mourning the fact in New Hampshire that his governor has requested more refugees. Chris Sununu. What a dope. What a jerk. What a dumbass. And my governor, Doug Burgum, boy, I'll tell you what, Donald Trump, he said the first week he came into the White House, he said, you know what, the swamp is deeper than we knew. Well, we're still learning. We still haven't hit bottom, have we? It is really deep. These people have to be replaced to make the Republican Party into an actual patriot party. The Doug Burgums and the Chris Sununus have to be retired. And it's not even a question of maybe changing their minds. These people are corrupt, or they're dumb, or both. They need to be replaced. So there's the work that's cut out for us. This is really a tremendous task, but we've got to get patriot people in and have that. I love that question that the president asked. Do we have the will to defend Western civilization? And I say, yes, we do. Certainly on this show, certainly you folks do. So, we're something, we're not nothing. We intend to survive and we intend to preserve Western civilization, and my children will uphold it and they will live. They will have kids that look like their grandparents, and they will not kick it all away. And they will understand. They will know. That, by the way, that's one of the beauties of homeschooling. Just to drag in another topic here, I am so happy with homeschooling. That is, if you have the chance and the ability to do homeschooling with your kids, do it. Because it's like you're getting your kids back. It's hitting me now that my son, who's here with me all day, every day, I what a deal. I mean, I didn't even, well, now I'm really appreciating. I got my kid back. And the influence that you have as a parent on your child is so tremendous. Your child is imbibing from you that Western civilization. But at school, they're not. The schools have gone really rotten. And so you're, if I'm a little kid, I'm going, wait, you see, my parents parked me here in this school. And so I guess they don't want me at home. I guess they want me to be with this weird person here that's telling me that I've got to be terrified of global warming. And I've got to turn to the refugee student who's sitting next to me and hug that person and exchange, I don't know if do they allow Valentine's Day, see, because that's a little bit too white. But I've got to give a Kwanzaa presents to the student sitting next to me. And then we have to go into the music class and sing a Kumbaya song, maybe sing Kumbaya itself, sing that song. So how does a little child process that? How do they integrate that into their, how do they not have some cognitive dissonance that you're saying one thing at home, you know, we want you to grow up a great conservative, patriotic American, but you spent most of your life over at this school where we parked you. And I don't want to make you parents. A lot of parents, boy, I'll tell you what, you don't have the option. You have to send your kids to public school. And I did for a few years. So don't feel bad about yourself. But just, you got your work is redoubled. You've got to, when you get your kids back home, you've got to figure out what garbage did they throw at them today, and then try to work your kids way back from that garbage and let them know you didn't park them in that school. Like when John and I were little, Mom was at home. Mom didn't have to work. I almost don't even have to ask John whether his mom had to work. He's a little younger than I am. But if he were as old as I am, I would know that his mom didn't have to work. Because when we were kids, not only was the car unlocked, not only was the door unlocked, not only did the windows have no locks, but the mom was, what was her job? Her job was to be mom. And the four of you, you know, typically, or three of you, that was her job, was being your mother. Wow. That was when America was really, really great again. Anyway, well, I ran out of time here. We got to meet up again on Sunday. We skip Saturday, and we meet every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. here in the Trump Clubhouse, reviving our will to defend Western civilization. See you Sunday.
When your doctor tells you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com. Extend-
extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.